We take this moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to the Chancel Choir for this lovely and timely offering of praise. The Lord bless our choir for the blessing they are to us. Earlier this morning, I learned that Connie Wardlow, one of our members who typically attends the 8:30 worship service, recently suffered a stroke, and she is in the hospital in Duluth. I certainly encourage your prayers for her and for her recovery. And thank you so much for your prayers for my sweet Deborah. She is still hospitalized. She had surgery, abdominal surgery, this past Monday in Rome. And Friday, the doctors took out the nasal gastric tube, which had been there for 8 days. And since Friday, they have given her sips of water and some broth. And yesterday, she was allowed to eat a few mouthfuls of mashed potatoes. I'll be going there this afternoon and being with her, but your prayers have been everything. And of course, Deborah is weak, and we don't know when she'll be coming home. The doctors are very cautious in that regard. But thank you for your prayers, and please continue to pray for her healing and for her recovery. The reading of Scripture this morning is taken from the New Testament, from the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 19. As you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Let us now hear the Word of God. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As Jesus entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give thanks and praise to God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's bow together for prayer. Our Father and our God, in these moments of our worship through proclamation, grant now that the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of all of our hearts will be pleasing and honoring to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. More than just turkey and dressing, Thanksgiving is a spiritual disposition of the human heart. More than just a national holiday, Thanksgiving is at the very heart of Christian faith and worship. And so, dear friends, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, we would do well to examine our scriptural text and especially to discover its valuable insights concerning Thanksgiving. First, note with me that in a world such as ours, there is the problem of distance. On his last journey to Jerusalem, where he would suffer death on the cross of Golgotha, Jesus and his disciples are passing through the border between Galilee and Samaria. As they enter this unnamed village, suddenly Jesus and his followers are confronted by a band of 10 lepers. We quickly learn that 9 of those lepers are Jewish and 1 a Samaritan. These men are now bound together by their common misery, by their dreaded illness of leprosy. How quickly they must have forgotten their national and religious differences and distinctions. Indeed, the common denominator of lepers in the ancient world was total and absolute isolation. They were banished from the village. They were no longer allowed to live with their families or even with friends. They were sent beyond the city walls, beyond the city gates, into the wilderness, into the desert, to find shelter wherever they could. And so there, as Jesus and his disciples enter this village en route to Jerusalem, they're suddenly confronted, encountered by this band of 10 lepers. The sight of these men with parts of their hands and faces missing, with the color of great death upon their faces, suddenly evoke the compassion and the mercy of our Savior. These men cry out from a distance of 100 paces, which was required by the Jewish law. From that distance, they call out to Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Jesus certainly heard their request, their plea, their petition. But he answers their plea not with an immediate act of healing, as he had done with other lepers. On previous occasions, when confronted by a leper for healing, Jesus would reach across that distance and physically touch the body. Or he would pronounce the words, "You're healed," but not on this occasion. On this occasion, Jesus said, without any commentary, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." Now, in every cleansing and healing, this was required by the Jewish law. But typically, before they would go and show themselves, Jesus himself would manifest the healing power and presence of God, but not on this occasion. Jesus was calling for an exercise of faith, a faith that would become active, a faith which would integrate every dimension of these lepers' being. Jesus was speaking to the point that the author of Hebrews 11 says, "For faith is the substance, the assurance of things hoped for, and not the evidence of things seen." Those men, and indeed we, need to learn that faith is not just a matter of doctrine or dogma. It is not a matter of theology and ritual. Faith is a matter of belief and commitment, not only intellectually, but spiritually, and then acting upon what we say we believe. So suddenly, these 10 men, perhaps confused by Jesus' response, turned and went their way to show themselves to the priest. And as they turned and began to walk toward the city gate, suddenly they realized that a miracle was occurring in each of their lives. The leprosy was being dismissed. Fresh flesh, a fresh countenance, was now coming into their faces and in their bodies. Luke says explicitly, "And as they went their way, they were cleansed." Standing at a distance facing Jesus, they felt or saw no change. But as they turned, as they were obedient to the word of Christ, suddenly, there within their bodies, they felt, they experienced the healing power and presence of Almighty God. They were healed. Can you imagine that cry of joy, that ecstatic cry, when suddenly they realized that what they'd been hoping for, dreaming about, praying for, was now taking place within their bodies? Their wonderful transformation, what they had longed for and yearned for, what they had thought would never happen, is now happening. And they are beside themselves because of the miracle of God's healing. These men were physically cured. Now they could be pronounced as respectable, as being healed. Now they could go back into the village. They could rejoin their families. They could take their rightful place within the life of their community. In spite of God's miracle, most continued, though, to remain at a distance. How revealing, how strangely familiar. 10 had cried out for healing. Healing had been granted to all 10. But of the 10 who were healed, whose prayers were answered, only one felt the need to come to Christ and to give thanks for his healing. Beloved, such behavior, whether then or now, underscores dramatically the problem of estrangement, the problem of distance, the problem of polarization, the problem of abandonment. These 9 lepers, upon being healed, did not feel the need to express gratitude for their healing. How representative they are of our affluent culture and our secular society. Indeed, many this Thanksgiving season will stand at a distance from Him who is the source of life. Many will keep their distance from Jehovah God, from the Lord Jesus, and from any call or claims of Christ upon their lives. Like those ancient 9 lepers, many today will resist every opportunity to draw near to God, even in prayer. However, more tragic than that fact is the fact that even within the church, at least on the rolls of the institutional church, there will be many who will fail to open the doors of their heart to the presence and to the power of God. How tragic that for so many of our fellow strugglers this Thanksgiving season, rather than being their constant companion, Jesus is little more than just an acquaintance in passing. God help us, the church, the body of Christ, to be thankful, not just during this week or this season, but indeed every day through every season, through every year of our lives. And may our words of prayer and praise and gratitude be heard, not merely within the walls of the sanctuary, but at the marketplace, in the classroom, in the crossroads of life, where people are struggling to live, to exist, to make it from one day to the next. And so as we examine this passage of Holy Writ, it brings to mind the problem so current today, even within our own nation and world, the problem of distance, the essence of estrangement. But notice secondly in our text, the tragedy of thanklessness, the sin of ingratitude. That cure that Jesus performed in the lives of those 10 men only served to reveal a tragedy much worse than their leprosy, at least in the lives of 9 of those 10 men. We would have expected that cure to have made those men godly and thankful and appreciative and humble. We would have thought that such a miraculous interaction would have provoked from all of them this response of coming to Christ to express their thankfulness. But no, only one of the 10 felt that need. And as Jesus indicates, the one who came to give thanks was the one excluded. He was a foreigner. He was a despised Samaritan. Only he turned back to Christ and gave thanks for his healing. And as this Samaritan, now healed leper, lies at the feet of the Savior, expressing thanks, praising God, Jesus raises a probing, penetrating question. Were not 10 men cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return to feel the need to give thanks to God except this foreigner? Where were they? They were continuing their journey. They were looking after only their agenda. It's evident they had believed the words of Christ when across that 100 paces, Jesus said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." They had believed those words from lips of Christ, or else they would not have heeded his instructions. And so they had started toward the village to find the priest. Beloved, whether then or now, authentic, transformative faith is much more than mere belief in miracles. Faith is much more than belief in ritual and litany, much more than just faith in doctrine or dogma. Faith is vital. It is pulsating. It is a relationship. It's not a body of information that we give assent to. Authentic faith is beating and living and moving, capturing us, stirring in us, equipping us to be more than we are in ourselves. Genuine faith knows that God's mercies are totally undeserved. As John said in our children's moment, every day, at every turn, we have reason to be thankful, even for the air we breathe. And dear friends, more and more, I am so grateful to God for the gift of good health. Every day to be able to get out of bed. Every day just to be able to eat. Every day to be able to go to the bathroom. Every day to look after our affairs, to look after our responsibilities. What a blessing. God help us not to be like those nine lepers who were willing to take, to embrace, to enjoy, but felt no need to bend knee and to give thanks. Genuine faith knows that God's mercies are undeserved, but also knows that gratitude and thankfulness are essential dimensions of our faith practice, our relationship to the Father through Christ. All 10 of those men saw the power of God at work dramatically in their own bodies. But tragically, that was not enough to bring them all to Christ. Beloved, we're never really changed or made whole until our heart is touched and transformed. There is a keen, distinctive difference between being healed or cured and being made well and whole. And I hope that we understand that difference. To be healed or cured speaks physically. To be made well and whole speaks totally of our being, mind, body, spirit, every dimension of our being. It's evident that these bodies of the nine men had been touched and they had been healed of leprosy. But tragically, that miracle had not touched their hearts. For there was no indication they wanted to give thanks to the one by whom they had been healed. These men cared more about themselves than they did God, even in their being healed. They were still more concerned about their bodies than they were their souls. After their healing, they wanted Christ less. And so Jesus, like so often today, was easily dismissed. How corrupt is our human heart? Indeed, we can take what is meant to bring us to God, and in our self-serving, we can let that very thing become the thing that keeps us away from God. All of God's blessings are intended to bring us to the Father. God enjoys favoring us and blessing us, but He grants us the things He does to remind us whose we are and to keep us close to Him. But so often, like the nine lepers, the more we have, the less inclined we are to be committed to Him, to embrace His will as our will. Indeed, we eagerly accept God's gifts, but we quickly forget the giver. You see, when God blesses us with gifts and blessings, we become so enamored with the blessing, the gift, that often we fail to raise our eyes from the gift to the giver. That happens so frequently. We become so attached, so fixated to the thing that we have wanted, to the thing we now hold, that we fail to look beyond the gift to the giver. And when we do that, dear friends, that gift, that blessing becomes an idol. And idolatry confirms our separation and our ingratitude to the Father. If we aren't careful, we will give the gifts adoration and affection that we should only give to the Father above. The sin of ingratitude is so prevalent in our culture, not just toward God, but toward those we love and are loved by. Within our families, as children, whether grown or young, we should thank the Father above for our parents, for their sacrifices, for all they do for us, for all the debt they incurred in raising us. From time to time in my prayers, when I think about my mom and dad in glory, I'll say, "And Heavenly Father, if you can, tell my mom and my dad that I love them. And that one day in your time, in your kairos, I'll see them again." To give thanks to our neighbors, our friends, our fellow strugglers. To give thanks merely through the acknowledgement that you see them, that you care for them, that they matter. I believe if we, the church, were more in step with the Spirit of God, acknowledging gratitude and respect and appreciation, this lost, dying world would be so intrigued, they would want to know the source of our joy and our gladness and our peace and our hope. Oftentimes when you greet a person, that may be the only occasion that person's day when that person is acknowledged and feels worthy to be greeted. In Psalm 103, verse 2, the writer says, "Oh, the Lord, let my soul bless you, and let us not forget his benefits nor his blessings." Every day we have reason and occasion to be thankful. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, "In everything let us give thanks." We're not to give thanks for everything, especially the bad things, but in everything, whether good or bad, there is something for which we can be thankful. And in every circumstance of life, there is always the Father abiding through the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we can say thank you that even in this difficult time, in this time of anxiety and apprehension, in this time of uncertainty, Lord, thank you for your abiding Spirit and for the strength and for the peace that you give me to cope and, Lord, hopefully to overcome. Thirdly, in our text, you will notice the correlation of thanksgiving and worship. There was only one leper upon being cleansed who turned back and broke that distance and thanked and worshiped the Christ. Only he felt gratitude in his heart. He was grateful for what God had done for him in Christ. The same is true today. And what an indictment. 90% of those who were healed felt no need to turn back and to give thanks to the Lord. All 10 lepers were healed. All of their circumstances were drastically improved. But better and nicer circumstances don't make a person better or nicer. There must be in the heart of all of us that seed of gratitude. There must be that element of humility that acknowledges our thankfulness for who God is and for what God has done for us. As soon as that Samaritan leper was healed, in his gratitude, he purposely turned back, leaving the others alone, coming to Jesus, falling on his face, crying out words of praise and gratitude to the Son of God. And with that Samaritan leper now healed at his feet, Jesus said, "Rise up. Your faith has made you well." Well, not cured, not healed. The miracle had touched every dimension of his life and being. It had touched his heart. And he would never, ever be the same. Biblical thanksgiving is always rendered to God in the context of worship and praise. And dear friends, no matter what we may have or call ours, there is no substitute for thanksgiving, and especially to God. Thanksgiving is impossible without worship and praise. Disuse and decay of worship will produce ungrateful souls. And so it is in the nation most blessed with affluence and prosperity, we are among the least thankful. I've been to poor countries on mission trips. I've been to wealthy countries on mission trips. And perhaps the most thankful people I have ever associated with, have ever mixed and mingled with, were folks in Honduras, third poorest country in the world, who had literally nothing, none of our modern conveniences. And to greet them, to share sandwiches, to visit in their little dirt adobes, evoked words of praise, thankfulness, not just to those of us there, but through us to the Father above. Active practice and habit of worship creates in us spontaneous praise and thanksgiving so that we are keenly mindful of even the little things that enrich our lives. I wonder today if we listen carefully with that inner ear of our heart, can we hear from the corridors of heaven, from the lips of Christ, "Where are the 9? Where are they? Did not I bless everyone? Did not I answer the prayers of those who prayed? Where are the 9? On other agendas, dealing with other matters. Like those 9 lepers then, there are such people today, Tragically, they're too busy with this meeting or that meeting. They're too busy making a living or running a business. They're too busy pursuing hobbies and other interests. God is pushed to the periphery and almost totally forgotten. Beloved, let us resolve today on the Sunday before Thanksgiving that we will never, ever be too busy to fall before the Master, to come before Him with thanksgiving and praise, to acknowledge our thanks, our gratitude for all that He does for us day by day and year by year. Therefore, this Thanksgiving season, let's purposely take a holy pause. Let us stand still. Let us be still. In the words of the psalmist, be still and know. Know that I am God. And to be still, biblically, means not just to quit speaking. It means to be silent and still and submissive and surrendered. To be still in our souls, to hear that voice of God. In our being still this week, let's pause from watching so much football, from eating so many fabulous meals, from visiting here and there, from shopping everywhere. Let's purposely stop and then turn back to God and on our knees and in our hearts, say thanks to the Father above, for He is indeed the source of every good and perfect gift. He is worthy of our praise, and He loves you more than you can ever imagine. He loves you to the point that He allowed His only begotten Son to die, so that one day, on Sunday the 18th, 2018 in church, we could engage a moment of praise and thank God, from whom all our blessings come. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.